You're listening to VFN TV highlights at VFNKB.com. Enjoy.
Sri Lanka. Sri Lanka is located just south of India. It's an island. I forget how many people it has in it, but it was a tragedy. This took place on Easter Sunday, a Sunday where we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And all these churches were coming together to celebrate. And a man walks in with a backpack filled with explosions. And it's a suicide bomber. He explodes that to kill himself and kills over 300 Christians gathered together to celebrate Jesus Christ's resurrection and injures others. It's a tragedy. I'm Greg Lancaster, and of course, joining me is John Ramos. And I think about this, as a matter of fact, let's just hear what Glenn Beck has to say about that as we go into this tragic reality of what's taking place. Take a look.
But I do want to say, this was the second largest terrorist attack since 9/11. 500 people went to the hospital, 300 killed, and it was targeting Christians, and it was Muslims doing it. It was Islamists. Let me be very clear. It was Islamists that did it. And we will not talk about it. They won't say that Christians were killed. It was Easter worshipers. It is vital that we talk about the targeting of Christians. Christians are being targeted in China, in Burma, in Africa, in the Middle East, all throughout Europe. 1,800 religious crimes reported in Europe just last year. 1,800. Out of that, over 1,300 were Christians. 1,100 were Christian churches being burned and desecrated. That's just in Europe last year.
That's just in Europe. Imagine what's taking place. You're thinking, you know, why aren't we standing up about what's going on? As Christians, you know, one thing that the Lord talks about, Jesus talked about is us having empathy and compassion for the persecuted church. And that when one part of the church is being persecuted, the whole church is being persecuted. When any part of the church is being persecuted, Jesus himself is being persecuted. I think about, you know, when Paul, or actually it was Saul, and he had a wrong perception of what the church was, and they were meeting in different houses, and he had a religious mandate. He felt he needed to go and persecute to get these people, these Christians, to quit worshiping. And so literally he was a terrorist, if you would, against the church to begin with. And as he was going and persecuting, he had a particular Christian named Stephen stoned, you know, and just it was tragic. But then he was going on his horse, basically, or donkey, going north to Damascus, and he had a letter to persecute some more Christians. And, you know, God didn't show up and just, you know, and say, you know, angrily, whatever. He showed up and showed himself. Jesus showed himself to Saul, and he says, "Why are you blowing me up? Why are you persecuting me? Why are you kicking against me?" Now, so many people don't understand that when you touch the body of Christ, when you touch Christians, you're touching Jesus. You're touching, you know, God's Son, who he's very jealous over. And it's a very direct assault by the adversary to come against God when you think of that. And so Saul didn't realize what he was doing, but his eyes were opened after a couple of days because of that. And he gave his life to Jesus Christ, Yeshua, the Messiah, and he served the rest of his life serving him. So he went from terrorist, you know, to the great, you know, evangelist for the church, apostle for the church that wrote almost, a third or half of the New Testament. And so the question we're asking today ourselves is, you know, first we want to look at the population and what's going on, but, you know, how do we respond as Christians?
Yeah, you know? I think about this. I mean, Glenn said it. In Europe alone, 800 attacks, and out of that 1,300 in Europe, 1,300 were against Christians.
Right.
What about the stuff that's happening in North Korea? What are the
stuff
that's happening
all over
the world?
Say that again. Say that again, where it makes sense.
Well, in Europe, 1,800 religious attacks occurred last year.
So persecution against the religious.
Religious.
Okay.
Out of that 1,800, 1,300 of them were against Christians. That's a staggering, you know, amount.
We're not hearing much about
that. No, we're not.
They're more protective over other faiths. They're not being persecuted at the level Christianity is being persecuted.
I remember what happened with the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt. Mm-hmm. As soon as the Muslim Brotherhood took office, Christians were being persecuted, church buildings were being burned down. And it's like, what's going on? What's this targeting happening? You know, and we've talked about on this program plenty of times, JJ, the persecution towards the Jews and the persecution towards the Christians.
Or Jesus, yeah, Jesus and the Jews. You can find out what's going on when you find out how they're responding to Jews and the church or Christians or Jesus, the body of Christ. Well, I think about this. I know we're not going to talk about it today, but just recently the Notre Dame Cathedral, right, in Paris, that it was had a fire and, you know, ever how it happened, and they're still investigating it. But compassion broke out all around the world for this building, you know, and people weren't in the building. And close to $1 billion was raised to rebuild the building. And, that, you know, it has a lot of symbolisms and, you know, different things. But, you know, Jesus tells us that you are the temple of God, that he comes to dwell inside of you when you're a believer. So really, you are the building of God. Mm. And so I just heard this morning, the reporters, we'll talk more in a future program, but they were saying, you know, this huge massacre that took place, you know, in Christ Church, the community, there's a Muslim, a mosque in the city or area of Christ Church, you know, in I believe it's New Zealand. And it was a tragedy. A shooter comes in and kills almost 50 Muslims while they're in worship. But this is actually only one third of what happened in Sri Lanka, because over 300 were killed.
It's the second largest.
Well, the reporter's saying this. The reporter's saying, and you're not even getting a mention of it.
Yeah.
I mean, the press covered 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
You know, take guns away. In every country, they were talking about what happened in Christ Church, the mosque in Christ Church, which was very tragic, and we should have been talking about it. Maybe not the level we were in regards to taking away all the guns, but still, this is 300, you know, Christians killed, massacred.
And over 500 that were sent to the hospital.
Yes,
and
yes.
They're still, this is the second largest terrorist attack since 9/11. Mm-hmm. And you're not here.
Well, there's a hush about it. And it's you know, the secular media, and that's why we're here with VFNKB's, VFNTV, and the Media Mountain. This is why we're so, nobody's who's going to talk about this. Mm-hmm. That we need to talk about it because everybody's not getting informed the right way.
That's right.
And what we're finding out, too, is once someone hears the truth, they understand.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard to believe it, but it's true. People are constantly saying things that aren't true continually over and over again, whether their minds are blinded by the God of this world, like Paul talks about, or whether they're intentionally pushing a narrative for their own gain. But there's something about the facts that are really tricky. They're facts. And the facts are totally opposite of what most are saying on media. You know, I think about so many different people that are, you know, intellectuals, and we're just talking about, you know, Larry Elder, you know, about it's facts. I think about so many different people. Thomas Sowell,
yes.
You know, bringing the facts out. He's the one that says the facts, I think, is really tricky, because they're, you know, he talks about, they use world statistics to be able to define what's happening in your neighborhood. It's like, well, what happens if 98% of that's happening in a different country, in one country, in one road? And so he talks about that. And what people are using these tragedies to push their narrative, but when a true tragedy comes to the church, to Christians, they just brush it off, because if you acknowledge the church, if you acknowledge church, you're acknowledging Jesus Christ, that God sent his son in the world he loved us so much that he sent his son to die for us to pay the price, and it just shouts to everybody else that there's only one way to God, is through Jesus Christ, but it is a way to God, it is the way to God. And so they have to snuff out that narrative to be able to do that. So I want to, you know, as we're going to go after this break, we're going to talk more about, John will tell you in just a second, but what are your thoughts? You know, we don't, you know, we're not promoting any kind of hate. It's not what we're talking about. We're talking about just reality, you know, about, you know, this is such a tragedy. Maybe what are your prayers? You know, pray, you know, comment below, write to us at friendsatvfnkb.com, because we want to hear from you. But people will read your comments. For example, you know, we are constantly talking about what's taking place in Venezuela. I had a chance to be able to talk to a businessman in Venezuela just recently, and he was so grateful that, like today, we're standing up for Sri Lanka and the church in Sri Lanka, really the church of the world, and it means so much. So when you comment and you say something, they read your comments, and it encourages them. And we don't want to, be hateful or you know, we're going to talk, as a matter of fact, in this program, you'll hear about, you know, how should we respond as Christians, and to Nella in a hurry is, you know, your comments below should be loving, kind, forgiving, and compassionate, and because that's what will reach people. You know, hate, well, you cannot drive out hate with hate. Only love can do that, right?
That's
Dr.
Right.
King said that. Well, if you haven't yet subscribed to our podcast, make sure you go to iTunes or Google Play.
That's right.
And also, we're on Spotify. We just launched on Spotify. You can go find us at VFNKB, VFNTV. And not only that, rate us when you're there. You'll be able to rate, when you rate the podcast, give us 5 stars, talk about us a little bit. That brings us up, and they send us out to more people around the world. It's a way that you can evangelize the world by being a partner with us, by doing something as simple as downloading the app, rate the app, and actually comment below, and they'll just send it out to more people.
We welcome you to the team, right?
Yes, welcome to it. Was us together.
That's right.
It is us together. Well, you know, you're looking at this tragedy that took place, but let's step back a little bit, because mm-hmm. they're talking about there was a radical Muslims who did this, who claims to be ISIS as well. But,
that's right.
But the common thing is they're saying that they're you know, Quran Ick Muslims who are following the Quran.
Following the Quran.
And so with that, you know, how many Muslims are in the world? How many Christians are in the world? Where do we all live at?
Yeah.
You know?
Interestingly enough, the Pew Research just actually did this for us, and we're going to be sharing about it.
Okay.
In fact, they say the countries, we'll talk about both, the countries with the 10 largest Christian populations and the 10 largest Muslim populations. So this is what they state.
Do we have a graphic for this?
We do.
Okay.
Let's take a look here.
Okay.
So when you look at this, this is based on 2015. These are the top 10. The number one mm-hmm. country right now with the most Muslims is Indonesia. 219 million Muslims in Indonesia. They're projecting by 2060 that there'll be 333 million Muslims. That's almost close to the population of the United States.
In 2060, which would be 50 years.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Well, a little less than that because we're in 2020. But you look at India as well, 194 million Muslims. Mm-hmm. Pakistan, top three, 184 million. Bangladesh.
Well, you know, Pakistan was formed because in India there was Muslims and Hindus. And what they did was they actually made a settlement, said, listen, we'll give you part of India.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of the Muslim population moved into that area, and then they just made it a country and called it Pakistan. That's how Pakistan was formed.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Bangladesh, number four. Nigeria, number five, which is interesting about Nigeria is that you'll see them on the Christian list as well. So there's a lot of Muslims in Nigeria and a lot of Christians in Nigeria as well.
But we're talking mostly right now about the Muslims.
Muslims,
here.
Correct. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Number six is Egypt, 83 million or so. Iran, 77 million. Turkey, 75. Algeria and Iraq at 36 million Muslims.
So you're looking at, too, the percentages there. So when you went to Indonesia with 219, almost 220 million, that's 87% of the population.
That's right.
So India is 14% of the population, basically, or 15 is Muslim. Pakistan
Correct.
Is 94%. That makes sense because Pakistan was originally founded,
sure.
you know, by Muslims there.
And it's interesting enough, if you look at number 10, Iraq only seems to be the smallest number there, 36 million.
But 99%.
It represents 99% of their population.
Because of the persecution that was been taking place, where they're running for their lives.
Yeah,
you know?
Which means Iraq would be mainly a Muslim nation.
Well, remember, ISIS came down through Iraq, and the Christian, and part of, I don't know if you know this or not, if you read the Bible, the Holy Bible, he talks about that the church, the letters to the church in Revelation, those churches are in Turkey. They're right there in all these different areas of Iraq. You're looking at the place of the Garden of Eden in southern Iraq, I believe it is. And, you know, you have the Tigris River. And so, but now, because of the ISIS coming in during all that radical days, but prior to, you know, President Trump becoming president, where they were just coming down to take over, caliphate, they said that they were developing, they were running all these Christians out. And so Glenn Beck started an organization. I forget the name of the organization that he started, Mercury One. Part of that was to go out there and rescue Christians. And that organization alone rescued more Christians out of Iraq to take them to other countries to settle.
Yeah,
because
amazing.
They were putting an end for Nazarene on the door.
That's
and they
right.
were killing Christians and taking their property unless they converted to Islam. So that's
amazing.
Why you're looking now. It's 99%. Mm. So what was the goal of Lucifer towards the church, you know, and all of that was to run every Christian out of Iraq?
Wow. And by 2060, they're predicting that number is going to increase now by 60 million Muslims. So they're going to go from number 10 all the way up to number 7, Iraq. Wow. Interesting. Now let's look at the top 10 Christian populated nations.
Okay.
The United States, no surprise, 248 million, which is represents 76% of the population.
Almost 77%.
Right. Number two, Brazil.
Which makes people, well, they talk about, you know, Americans, they talk, they say, you know, we're not a Christian nation. It's like 77%, you know, are a Christian nation. So we are. We're Judeo-Christian foundation.
That's right.
The Bible is one of the founding documents of America's founding papers, right?
Mm-hmm. Now, if you look all the way across here to 2060, that number of the population drops down to 63%. But what they're not calculating is revival and an awakening. So God has something in his back pocket, if you will. Number two, Brazil, 179 million. Number three, Mexico, 113. Russia, all this talk about Russia, there's 103 million Christians in Russia.
And the prophetic word is revival is going to be birthed out of Russia again there by Bob Jones.
A massive move of God. And number five, the Philippines. 94 million, number
92%.
Yeah, strong. That's nice. Nigeria again, 86 million Christians. DR
Congo,
mm-hmm. 72 million. China, 70 million
Only
Christians.
Only 5%.
Yeah, but the fact that 70 million Christians are in China are amazing. Nine is Ethiopia, 57 million, and Germany is 55 million.
And the thing about that they're saying with Pew Research is that, you know, Muslims are pretty much gathered in predominantly Islamic nations or Muslim
population
nations.
Centers, they call them. Right.
Yeah. But Christians are in every nation,
spread out
all over the earth. Well, the big question we want to ask is how do we, as Christians, respond to these kind of tragedies? I want you to read the scripture, what Jesus said, really quickly right here, so you understand how we respond. John?
You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect.
So you're looking at this, that we're supposed to love our enemies, those that hated on us. And you can do that, as I talked about Saul to begin with. But let's hear what Ravi Zacharias talks about specifically, about how do we actually talk to Muslims about the love of Christ? Because they want everybody, every man searching for God. And we want to tell them how to get there. Let's listen to Ravi now.
I think one of the most important questions you can ever ask a Muslim, but most importantly, always try to befriend them first. If you get into a vacuous argument, you will almost never win it unless you have the protracted opportunities back and forth, like Nabil Qureshi's case with a friend of his. They periodically and regularly would get together and pick out the thorny areas of the other person's faith, which you can do with a friend. But just first understand your faith well. It's very important for you to understand what the Christian faith is about, which is very distinctive from the Islamic worldview. Do you know the Christian worldview, the Judeo-Christian worldview, is the only worldview, hear me carefully now, is the only worldview where your salvation is a gift and that of grace, not of works, lest any man should boast. There's no other worldview that gives you that option. Every pantheistic worldview, Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, Sikhism, all of them are karmic. Every life, every birth is a rebirth, every birth is a payment for the previous life. Islam, Muslims, if you ask a Muslim, how do you know you're going to get into paradise? His answer would be, my good deeds will have to outweigh your bad deeds. And you ask him a simple question, do you know if they will? His answer will be, inshallah. It's the wish or the will of God that whether my good deeds will outweigh my bad deeds. Almost every Muslim that I have talked to, without exception, almost every Muslim has come to Christ in one of two ways, either through a dream, where God spoke to them in a dream, or through the love of Christ shown to that Muslim by another believer. I have a very dear friend who went to be a missionary. I won't tell you which country. He was born and raised there, came to this part, came to know the Lord. And his wife was an American gal. He came from the Middle East. And she used to go to church, and he despised it. On Wednesday nights, she would go to a Bible study. They had one car. He would go to pick her up, and he would be waiting outside. He told me the story. He said, and sometimes the Bible study would be going longer, and he'd be breathing threatening and slaughter sitting in the car. And the pastor would come out with a tray with some sandwiches or cookies and a cup of coffee or tea and offer it to him while he was waiting. That so touched him. He said, I can tell you this, if the reverse were true, waiting outside a mosque, nobody would even think of doing that for you because of the way they would despise your faith. Said that this pastor knew I was waiting and didn't want to come into the church, so he'd bring me a cup of tea or coffee and some sandwiches, cookies. Gradually melted his heart. One thing led to another. Through the study of the Bible and the loving extension of friends, he came to know Christ.
Isn't that awesome? By loving people. It's so important. Outside of a relationship with Jesus Christ, we're all the same. I mean, we're all lost outside of him. And so we should be reaching everybody the same. And there's so much available for you at vfnkb.com, how to be able to be compassionate towards the lost, but also how to share the gospel with people who walk in the Muslim faith. You know, they accept Jesus. They just don't understand that he is the Son of God. They believe that he's a prophet. But if you explain to them the truth, and understand when you, it's not about a logical explanation, it's about when you share it without manipulation, just out of love, God moves on that message and he touches their heart because he loves them, and he'll reveal himself to them, to anybody you share the gospel with. It's not your power of convincing people. It's your ability and willingness to share it with a heart of love that God loves them. God's got a plan for their life, and it's just amazing. Listen, comment below, pray. We need to pray for the persecuted church at large across the world, and people being persecuted. As a matter of fact, Muslims are being persecuted dramatically over the earth as well, including in China. But we need to be able to be compassionate. The answer is the love of Jesus Christ. And comment below, post a prayer, pray for those in Sri Lanka that lost their loved ones. You know, 300 were murdered through that explosion. Many others are injured. Tourists that were in the local hotel right next to them from all around the world were there, and they got hurt and injured. There was blood splatter all over the place. I mean, it's just tragic. And remember, Abel's blood cries out to this day. In every one of those people's blood, God sees that happen. And we need to take compassion and pray for them. Comment below, write to us at friends@vfnkb.com. Dear Lord, right now, I want to pray with you right now. Dear Lord, we just ask you right now that you would comfort all those who lost their loved ones, God, that you would supernaturally meet them where they're at. Father God, help them in their time of trying to just move. It's difficult to even move in their daily life because of this persecution. God, we pray for the persecuted church around the world, God, that you would prevent this persecution, that you would save the leaders, those that persecute, Father God. We pray to them that you would turn them to you, Lord God, that they would seek your forgiveness in relationship with you, and they would be senders of love, like when Saul converted to Paul, God. We just ask this in Jesus' name. And Lord, we ask you, dear God, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, we ask in Jesus' name. And don't forget how easy it is. Love God, love others, and lead others to do the same. God bless.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the VFN TV and the daily radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at vfnkb.com. And don't forget about our VFNKB app. No matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. Connect and sign up for the next webinar or attend our next summit at vfnkb.com. VFN TV and the daily radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.